Every year here in the student ministry, we take the opportunity to kind of pick a few of our seniors as a cross-section of the greater class of seniors, just to kind of give some feedback back into the student ministry and how God kind of shaped them over the years, and also kind of charge our students who are left behind after they graduate to say, hey, here's how you can best benefit from the student ministry. If there was one thing that I learned or wish I would have done earlier, it would be this. So this year, we have four students who are going to join me in these four chairs who happen to be seniors, and they will represent the entire senior class. But do understand this, that we could have chosen any of the seniors here this morning because they all represent what we embody as values. So, Bethany Banks, would you please join me front and center? Can I get someone backstage to grab a couple of mics for us too, please? Braden Eller, all the way from Northland Christian School. Brian Burgess, representing Klein High School and some of our other schools locally here. And then Andrea Guzman. Andrea, you're at Klein Oak, is that right? Congratulations. Come on up. So these guys this morning, I asked them this past week to write down a couple of words to share with you, and they're going to get into that in just a few minutes. And then I asked them last evening to share with me a picture of when they were 2 to 4 years old. So I don't know that they knew that it was going to go on the screen this morning, but your little mugshot that you sent me is going to go on the screen behind you. So when they smile and go, "Oh," it's not you, it's the picture. Got it? So this is a big day in the life of every senior and the life of every person that's ever graduated, in that you are moving to a milestone in your life, and then you're moving from that milestone up into what we would consider adulthood, right? When you graduate from high school, you officially become an adult. True or false? You're like, as long as I can keep my mom and dad's financial support, I'll buy that thing, right? Right. So, but it really is a milestone in your life where you begin to move into a new phase of life called adulthood. The tricky thing about defining what an adult is like the definition of an adult is not very descriptive. So here's what one definition says of becoming an adult. Adult is when you reach full maturity. Ladies that are married, how many of your husbands have become an adult? Don't raise your hand. That would not go good. So that definition of adult is very vague in and of itself, but also it's hard to define an adult too, because we are kind of what theologians would call tripartite beings, right? We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. So here's what people tell us, right? Scientists, they say that the human body becomes adult, reaches full maturity, right? That's the flesh and blood, that which you see. It reaches full maturity when you're about 17 to 18 years of age, depending upon how many hormone-injected eggs you eat. No, just kidding. But your skeletal system reaches full adulthood at age 17 and 18. Now, that doesn't mean, gentlemen, as you eat Bluebell, that you don't continue to grow. It just means that your skeletal system has reached its full height. Your feet are usually as big as they are. So your body kind of becomes an adult, if you will, 17, 18 years of age. But then your soul, right, the seat of man. I may have a graphic on the screen behind you. You can see. So the soul, which comprises your mind, your emotion, your wills, your conscious thoughts, your subconscious thoughts, the essence of who you are. Your soul continues to grow over the lifespan as well. A lot of people believe this, and again, this is just some stats for you to get you to understand why it's so hard to define what an adult is. A lot of people believe that adulthood, in terms of your mind becoming fully mature, doesn't now happen until your 30s and maybe even 40s. There's a little device in the front of your brain called the prefrontal cortex. How many of you guys or seniors can define that for me? You fail. You're going back, 11th grade. No, so you have this part in your brain called the prefrontal cortex, which helps you reason. And a lot of people say it doesn't really develop until your 30s, 40s. So your body develops about 17, 18. Your mind isn't fully developed until a little bit later. But then there's another part of your body, the spirit. What does it look like for the spirit of man to become an adult, to mature? Now, here's what I believe. The Bible says in Luke 2 that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor, and it's a picture of Jesus becoming an adult. His mind, his body, and his spirit all grew together, and he matured. Now, I know this. I know that save a relationship with Jesus Christ, that your spirit can never mature, because when you were born again, you were what again? born again, right? Your spirit is born of the Spirit, and your spirit begins to take on life, and it begins to take on growth. And the goal in Christianity is for you to move through Christianity and to mature, to become mature spiritual adults, both mind, soul, if you will, and spirit. So I want to focus this morning with these seniors on what does spiritual maturity look like? How do we know we are growing spiritually? Seniors, what does it mean when you step out of this student ministry and into whatever college you choose to go to and you begin to get involved in a church there or a student union of some kind or some type of Bible club? What does it mean for you to continue to grow? So I'm going to defer to these guys. I have a couple of questions for them. Gentlemen, I think we have up first Mr. Braden Eller. Give it up for all the Northlandites out there. You need it? You can stay there if you want to. That's okay. Unless you want us to come up here. You're the senior, dude. It's all about you today. So, Braden, I don't know if we got the picture of you on the screen there. If we can, the PowerPoint slide, I'd love for them to see that little picture. But, Braden, here's my question to you regarding what does it mean to grow up and mature spiritually, right? It's not you. It's the picture. I'm telling you. So, what is spiritual maturity? Why don't you explain to these guys, what is spiritual maturity and how do I grow up in my spirit? So
spiritual maturity and how do we grow up?
Yep.
Wait, you want me to read my speech?
Whatever you want to do. Yep. It's your day, remember? Yeah. All this is what you sent to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me for a minute while we're just having a conversation. Yeah. You're golden.
All right. Okay. Let me find myself. I don't know. Can I just use one? Yeah.
Yes, all absolutely. Right, cool. Brother, it's your day, remember?
Because I know what this is. I don't really know what that is. Yeah. Thanks, guys. All right. So as we grow and mature from childhood into adulthood, not only should our minds and our bodies change, but also our faith and relationship with Christ. And I'm going to read today from Jeremiah 1:7, which is a verse that I feel portrays a few of the signs of maturation in Christ. Upon my reflection in my own life, I can now see how some of these concepts have become more and more prevalent as I've matured as a middle schooler and a high schooler. So let's go ahead and read it. It says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak.'" Now there are three main signs or steps of maturation that I've gleaned from this verse. The first is that an adult, a mature Christian, must be able to discern and hear the word of God. The entirety of the verse is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. So if we are truly to reach adulthood in our faith, we must be able to hear God speaking to us. If you spent any time in church at all, you can probably guess the first two things you must be able to do to be able to hear God's voice. One is to pray. Pray continuously, petition the Lord in everything, and talk to your Father and spend time with him daily. The second is to abide in the word. Don't just glaze over passages in your daily reading, but daily devote yourself to getting into the Bible and taking it to heart. Now, once you've done these two things, the third one should be relatively easy. Listen for God. And I'm not just talking about when you're praying or when you're reading, but listen for him constantly throughout your entire day. Listen for him in the words of your friends, in the words of your mentors and family. Listen for him in your situations. Listen for him in your reading. Listen for him everywhere. He's speaking to you. All you have to do is listen. And if you can do these three things, I guarantee you'll start to hear God speaking to you. And it's paramount that you get this one down first because the next two steps rely heavily upon it. The second step or sign is to obey God. Like the Lord said, you shall go. If we're hearing what God's telling us, then our next step is to be obedient to what he's commanding us to do and ultimately our calling. As we grow with Christ, our obedience in him should also grow. Like the last step, there are three things that display this transition. The first is to stop making excuses. As God said in the passage, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.'" Making excuses is a sign of infancy and childhood. As we grow into adults, we must stop justifying our disobedience. No more, "I'm too busy," or "it's not my place," or "but it's awkward." Instead, we must display the second thing, trust. When the Lord calls us to action, a mature Christian will put his or her trust in the Lord, especially if he or she is nervous or afraid or doubtful. This trust separates the men and women from the boys and girls in their faith. And finally, once you've stopped trying to make excuses and trust in the Lord, you must go. Go do what God is telling you to do, for faith without action is dead. And what good is hearing the Lord and trusting in him if you don't go do what you've heard him tell you to do and that you're trusting him to accomplish? Obedience to the Lord shines through your life and your actions and displays the maturity of adulthood to others around you. If you can hear God and obey him, then this last step or characteristic should be pretty easy for you. Allow God to speak through you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Undoubtedly, you will have heard God speak through other people. God will use you in this very same way. Be a vessel for the word of God. If others can not only see Christ in you, but also hear him, then you're no longer a child in your faith, but have reached an adulthood. This is what we should all strive for, to be a carrier of the word of God to the world. And hopefully you guys can see the maturation process that's taken place in us four seniors as we're being obedient to God and speaking out to all of you. And I hope that's an encouragement to you all. A person of little faith will often miss God's voice, they won't be obedient to him, and they most often won't be God's choice of delivering his word. But an adult, a mature Christian, will hear the voice of God, obey it, and become a vessel to others for that very same voice they heard. I encourage you to examine your own lives and strive to do these three things every day so that you don't stay babies in your faith, but rather become leaders in it.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Pretty impressive. Wow. So that's, by the way, you are going to school to become a physicist, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice, very nice. So it shows in the way you write. Very well done. So real quick, and then we'll move on. So one of the key indicators of your faith growing is your measure of obedience and trust, right? That's what you said. So I don't want to embarrass you. Is your mom and dad here?
Yeah, they're right over there.
Hey, how are y'all doing? Got a lot to be proud of, by the way. So just out of curiosity, he's mature now, but when he was back in that little picture with the baseball bat and all that kind of stuff, was he always obedient? Would y'all pray for his forgiveness for lying in church? but he probably could have been disobedient, right? Why? Because he was younger. He was trying to mature and get older. But as he got older, going through kind of his teenage years, there was still this kind of like, I know everything, mom and dad type deal, right? You probably read the quote, why don't you go ahead and move out and support yourself while you know everything? But he began to know more and more and more, and he began to understand the necessity of obeying his mom and dad a little bit more. Would that be true?
Yeah.
You obey them more now than when you were, say, five.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you obey them forever. Perfect, 100%,
oh, yes. 100%,
spotless. Great, thank you.
Everything they say.
So you won't stay out late at school. You'll study all it, right?
Never.
So, but there's this progression to it. He learned, he matured, and the more he began to trust in his mom and dad's wisdom and guidance, the more he was able to obey them, and consequently, the more he was able to trust them. So I believe you're right. One of the first steps of growing your faith is absolute trust, obedience, and the measure of faith you have in God will somehow parallel the measure of obedience you have in him and vice versa. The measure that you show obedience tells a lot about your measure of faith. Thank you. Well done. Congratulations. Put your hands together one more time for Braden Ella. Okay, so let's keep on moving along here. The next person we have up here is Miss Andrea Guzman. Miss Andrea, would you join me here on the stage? Or you can stay there, whatever you want to do. Okay, sounds good. You can stay right there. So, Andrea, I'll prompt you a question, but what I really want you to do is just share your heart that you sent me, the scripture you sent me, or the paper you sent me. So, Andrea, following that question, how will we know when we are growing up or maturing spiritually? There will be some outside evidences that people can see. How do we know when that's happened? How can you tell these fellow seniors, students out here, adults, when do you begin seeing that taking place? And that will fit right into your answer. Yep.
Okay, so is this on? Okay, so that's my picture up there. And the verse that I'm going to dive into today is 1 Corinthians 13:11. And it's up there, and it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." So in this verse, we see Paul wrote it, and we see that there's two stages in his life. There's child and then man. But in our culture today, we see three stages, like child, adolescence, then man. We have like this in-between stage, but in the Bible, there's no traces of that stage, at least that I've read so far, and I don't think there is. But we see like that's how God sees us, that he sees us either as a child or as a man. So, you know, how do we know like what defines a child or what defines a man? And so if we like read this verse in its context, most of you know that 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter of love. So like first it goes on to explaining the significance and the importance of love, and then it describes what love is, and then it has this verse planted like randomly in the middle of it. So I think it was like strategically planted because it's saying that that love is like the defining part that defines a child and a man. That and the character, I wrote down some of the characteristics of love that I read in the verse, and things like patience, kindness, humility, selflessness. Okay, not being selfish.
Nice, well played.
English, not very good. Okay. not being easily angered. Forgiving, being truthful, bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring all things. These are the things that will make us spiritually mature, because these things describe love, and God is love. So when we are being more loving, we're being more like God. And so basically it's like being spiritually mature is wanting to be more like God and letting yourself be loved by him and loving other people as God loves you. So the only way you can do that really is to be loved by God first, and God models the love that you should have for other people. So
So Andrea, would it be safe to say that you love people more, you display love more today than when you first got saved, that you have a greater amount of love for your brother?
Definitely.
Patience with your brother, right? Family, would that be safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. So the Bible talks about in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, right? When we, when our spirits come alive in Christ, the Spirit of God begins to live inside of us, and we should begin displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Some of those are? I love it. You get like for the first four, and then you're like, so love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. So those are the fruit of the Spirit, and on and on and on, right? So as you mature in Christ, you should begin to display more of those fruit. Would that be safe to say? Right? How many of you guys are like me? You go to the grocery store, or you go to the home hardware store, or it doesn't matter where you go or what line you get in, you always choose the longest line. And everybody next to you in the cash registers and the line next to you are like blowing through, and you're like, do I always choose the longest line? Anybody else in the room like that? You're just like, why me? Let me tell you why you. Because you're impatient. We were just at Lowe's a couple of nights ago, and it was just like, seriously? Could this go any more wrong? You're just getting a price on a bungee cord. It can't take 43 minutes to get a price on a bungee cord. And I'm talking to my wife, and I'm trying to stay patient, and I said, it's okay. The Lord's doing something in me right now. He's trying to make me patient. But isn't that what God does? He uses the circumstances of our life to grow us maturely. I want you to think about your life, and then we'll move on. I want you to think about your life right now. Think about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, the way you treat other people. Think about the way you've treated people in the recent 2 weeks, and think about the person that you've treated the worst. You got it, everybody? Now turn to your neighbor and tell them that name. Don't do that. It might be them. Duh. But think about that, and think about if you're growing in your faith and growing in spiritual fruit, shouldn't that relationship be affected too? It's easy to display fruit to people that are lovable. It's hard to display those fruit to people that are less lovable. But I firmly believe that is one of the acid tests of spiritual maturity. Let's keep moving on. Brian Burgess. Ooh. So I asked you to share a little bit with me, and I think you actually had a picture up here that everybody's going to love. I think you chose this one just to buy favor, by the way.
Shout out to Sunny Sedate.
Nice. So Brian, you talked a little bit about Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to dive into that. But I just want to say the Christian journey is not meant to be lived alone. Maturing in life, you are with people, your parents, your friends, and others. So Brian, talk to us a little bit about that kind of process of people being involved in your spiritual maturity and what you shared with me.
Right, so we're talking about spiritual maturity, and I was thinking about it, and I think it's pretty easy to define. I think a lot of us can do that, but it's much harder to actually become spiritually mature. So I picked Hebrews 12:1. A lot of people know that verse. It's often called like the hall of witnesses, or it talks about a great cloud of witnesses in the verse. So the verse is good to me because it's taught me a lot about what it means to be spiritually mature, and even more, how to become spiritually mature. So it reads this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So after I read that, the first thing I wonder is, well, what race am I marked out for? What is it talking about? And this answer is the same for all of us, even though some of us are going to different colleges next year and we're all in different parts of life. That answer is the same for all of us. The race that God has set before us leads to spiritual maturity. So we're all meant for spiritual maturity. And as we grow towards spiritual maturity, we're becoming more like Jesus, as Andrea said, in our actions, in our mindset, and in the way that we live our lives. What makes this verse one of my favorites, though, is the truth that it speaks about becoming spiritually mature. The verse talks about a great cloud of witnesses. And this great cloud of witnesses is talking about like our friends, our fellow believers, and all of those that are here to help us along the way as we become spiritually mature. And as Jeff just said, what I'm talking about is that we need each other to become spiritually mature. It's not a fight that we're on our own. The verse talks about the importance of friendship. Hebrews 12:1 isn't talking about just any type of friendship, like the kind of casual thing that we talk about or that we experience like at school and stuff like that. Something much more rare and something much more meaningful. The number one thing that I've learned throughout high school is the importance of being real with people and being real with your friends so that they can build you up and help you on your way to become spiritually mature. And this is the type of relationship that the Bible is actually talking about and pointing towards, and it encourages throughout the Bible. There's two people in my life that have really demonstrated that to me and have been there for me and have been that real relationship. It's Vincent Sacco and Garrett Domain. And God really used them in my life to make me more spiritually mature. For so long, I would hide my problems, my sin, and the things that were hindering and entangling me, just as Hebrews 12:1 says. Because number one, I thought I could handle it. I wasn't real with anyone, and because I wasn't real, I was just acting like I was fine, and I wasn't growing at all. I wasn't becoming more spiritually mature. I couldn't rely on myself to fix my own problems, because something that's broken can't fix something that's broken. But this verse points to the fact that you don't have to do that, and also that you can't do that. It says that we have these fellow believers here to encourage us so that we can throw off these things that we struggle with and look to Jesus alone to bring spiritual maturity. But this can only come if we're real with each other. If one person is struggling and refuses to admit that he is struggling, how is another person, all of his friends, his great cloud of witnesses, supposed to help him? So if we simply become real, stop pretending that we're okay, and then that's whenever God can begin to use our friends and use this great cloud of witnesses to actually make us more spiritually mature.
Excellent, excellent. Brian, where are you going to school at?
Texas A&M. Gig Mags.
Yeah, and what are you going to study there?
Engineering of some sort. Nice. Probably civil engineering.
Very nice. So you got a lot of friends probably in the room that'll be going there with you, but if I could give one bit of advice to every senior leaving here, and it was, I don't know that it would be the the first one I would give you, but it would be one of the top two or three. It would be find a couple of friends immediately when you get to the college you're going to who help grow your faith. The people you hang out with will be the people you will begin to model, and they will direct your future. Promise. Promise. If you want to grow in your faith, find people that will challenge you to grow like Brian is talking about. Before we get to Bethany, I want you to do this if you would. All the seniors, really everybody in the room, if you wouldn't mind doing it. Would you guys think of two people right now that the Lord has used in your life, friends, that the Lord has used in your life to help you grow? Just think of those two names. You don't have to say them out loud. Just think of two people that the Lord has used in your life. And now, could you just say this simple prayer for them? I just think it's acknowledgement of what God did. Would you just say simply, God, I thank you for giving me, and just say their names. Because they are gifts from God. Brian, as you said, they are pivotal in our faith development, and God put them there for a reason. So friends are important. It's not meant to be lived out alone. And finally this, Miss Bethany, where are you going to school? Texas Tech. Oh, no. Nice. So Bethany, you get to close this out here. If you had some last words to give to these seniors, just kind of something you'd share regarding growing in their faith, what would you share? What would be your words? And I think we probably have a picture of you up there.
Aww.
Do we have
so
a picture?
Cute. Anyway.
What happened? You disappeared.
Well, when I first started looking at this, the verse that really stood out to me was Proverbs 16:9, which says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." And that verse just kind of combines everything that, well, not everything, but most of the things that spiritual growth and maturity means to me, which would be that when we make the decision to follow God's plan and we give him control of our lives, that's when we start to become spiritually mature. And so this is something that we hear a lot in church, you know, like give your life to God, give him control. But it's a lot easier said than done. And I know for me, like, I have control issues. I like to know what's going on, and I don't like to be surprised, and I like to plan things. But the thing is, the difference between our plans and God's plans is that God's plans do not fail. And so when you trust God with that, you know that you're going to be okay. And so for me, like, it's senior year, and so there's a lot of decisions that affect your entire life, and there's a lot of pressure, and it's really stressful. And for me, part of that was deciding where I was going to go to college. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, I had some ideas, and I wasn't really sure, and I didn't really know what to do, but then I started praying about it. And after that, it just got crystal clear. I mean, Tech started sending me, like, mail, and I got invited to stuff, and like the recruiters were saying hi to me, and it just and just God put this desire in my heart to go there, and it really for no good reason, I guess, but
no, they need Jesus there. It was for a very good reason.
But yeah, and so I mean, after that, it just took away the stress that I had, and smooth sailing for the most part. But I think the reason some decisions are so difficult for us is because we're not supposed to decide them alone. You know, we're supposed to rely on God, and he wants us to give him our burdens and our anxieties so that he can take care of them and he can take care of us. A lot of us know Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." And that verse holds so much truth, and I've really realized that this year, is that God loves us, and he has a plan for each and every one of us, and, you know, it's not a plan to leave you alone in a ditch someday. It's a plan to prosper you and give you a future. And I know it's hard to see God's plan sometimes, and it's hard to see it working out, because times are dark. You know, things get hard, but our perspective is so limited, and you know, God loves you, and he's going to take care of you. And spiritually, to be spiritually mature means to give up what we think is right and what we think is the right way, and to follow God's ultimate plan for our lives.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Well, let me close with this. I'm going to ask you guys, if you would, you can go ahead and just be dismissed to your seat and kind of get comfortable there for a moment. Thank you. I want to just say this as Miss Licata is going to join me on the stage. Two things. I have the privilege today of graduating a senior of my own, and doing really good, by the way, until they called his name to walk across the stage up in the Big House Worship Center, and then I almost lost it. But I have the privilege today of having my mom and dad in the room with me. So my mom taught me what it meant to pray because she modeled that. And my dad, by the way, my dad taught me what it meant to cry over the Word of God, but he taught me spiritual disciplines. I don't know that I remember a day on a weekend when my dad wasn't sitting at the table with a cup of coffee, with his Bible open and tears rolling down his face as he read the Word of God. And he never forced me to do that, but he modeled it for me. And my love for the Word today goes to that, and my love for prayer goes because my mom, and she had to pray for me. I gave her a lot to pray for, but my mom prayed consistently. The Christian faith is meant to be passed down from generation to generation to generation. You are a generation that is carrying this torch and passing it on. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, life group leaders in the house, would you just stand up for a moment? If you're a mom or a dad of a senior, or your grandma or grandpa of a senior or a life group leader, we'd just love to recognize you for a moment. Just stay standing for one moment. So you can stay standing for one moment. I just want to say thank you, guys. You have passed this torch. It's not over. They're still going to come home and need your advice and money, but you are passing this torch, and thank you for faithfully doing that and doing it well. God bless you guys. You can go ahead and be seated. Leslie, come on out one second. You have two birthdays in life. You have your physical birthday, which is, mine happens to be September 10th. Yours is, say it out loud. Gotcha. Nice, nice. But most of you, if you're in a relationship with Jesus, also has a spiritual birthday, the day you were reborn. Mine happens to be about 33 years ago. If you remember correctly, Jesus lived 33 years, and then they crucified him. So I don't know what the future looks like for me, but 33 years ago, I accepted Jesus into my heart, and that's my spiritual mile marker. Now, at 33 years old spiritually, I should look a little bit more spiritually mature than when I was 3 years old spiritually. Amen? Think about your spiritual birthday. What day was that? Try to remember the year. It's going to be tough on some of you. Math. How old are you spiritually? Don't say it out loud. How old are you spiritually? I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Look, I see people going. How old are you spiritually? Ready? On my count, say it out loud. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I got it all. Are you acting your age? Spiritually.